today, one of the greatest elements that is missing is called repentance. Now we have messages all over the board about love and grace. And you pull the very concept of love out of salvation and you no longer have salvation. If not extended grace, all you and I would perish. Amen. But today, unless we find ourselves, and I believe every message that is preached should bring me to this point, to find myself where I find myself in need of the Savior. And if I don't bring myself to that point in the reading of God's Word, I find very little value in God's Word. Now, it feels real good this morning to think about God's love. And without God's love, where would I be? Where would I be? You see, I'd still be lost. Without God's extension of grace, and grace is nothing more than the opportunity to walk in the will of God. That's what it's all about, grace. God extended that grace to be able to walk in the will of God. Now I have a question this morning. We're all in the church house. We all came here for varying reasons. Maybe it's the thing to do on Sunday morning. Maybe it's a prestige of what will people think if I don't attend, and the list goes on. But how many of us here this morning are for real? How many of us here this morning are for real? Where we have experienced the redemptive power and been granted the forgiveness of sins, where God granted us that forgiveness. And we call that being born again. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, is what Jesus said. If any man will come after me, I will in no wise cast him out. Some of my darkest hours many years ago, the devil confronted me face to face. And you know, the Bible says he comes as an angel of light. He comes as a roaring lion. And that morning, he came as a roaring lion in my living room. And people will tell me, what's the devil doing in a preacher's living room? Brothers and sisters, we're in a battle. And the battle rages on. And there is a war over every soul here this morning. The devil is the father of all lies. He's the author. He's a liar. The truth is not in him. And yet, we have a loving Savior who says, come. Come unto me. That morning there was a war was raging. And the devil told me what a fool I was to believe that I was saved. He told me the foolishness of thinking about those things. And I remember sitting there and I said, Father, what do I tell him? These words came to me. The words of Jesus. If any man will come after me, I will in no wise cast him out. I ask you this morning, are you in the war? I ask you this morning, are you in the battle? I ask you this morning, is the war raging? What did our week look like this past week? Was it about making money? Was it about the pursuit of things? Was it about the securing of the welfare of my being, of pleasure and enjoyment and all of those things? Or was it a life of sacrifice where Paul said, I die daily to the surrender and the lordship of Jesus Christ? How many of us here this morning, and then I need to get to the message, this is extra. How many of us here this morning want to go to heaven? How many of us here this morning want to go right now? It's not a trick question. It's a question of identity. I tell my wife over and over, if I can get in that old Buick and drive there, I'm out of here. I will beg every one of you to follow. But I'm out of here. This world, truly, my friends, this morning, is not my home. I'm disconnected. I'm not apologetic for that. I'm disconnected to this world. There's nothing but souls here for me to minister to. And that's all that I'm here for. To be a part of God's kingdom and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Until we begin in this century to take inventory of who we are and begin to see our need. Desperate need, and I'd like to illustrate it like this. If someone were to push you underwater, you know it takes oxygen to breathe. If someone were to push you underwater and hold you there, how desperate would you be to fight for air? Is that what your life consists of for the things of God this morning? You see, shepherds have their work cut out. God has called the shepherds of the church to shepherd the church. And what does that mean? It means standing on the profound truth no matter what. Share the gospel with power and conviction and the authority that it has in your life. Now we're seeing many today, as already commented, who are falling by the wayside. You know, the hireling flees. We're all subject to deception, but no one knows that they're deceived because they're deceived, right? Now, how do we avoid deception? The Bible says, know the truth, and the truth is going to set you free. It's not some book, and I have nothing against reading books. It's not some script that some great, profound teacher or good speaker said. It's about the authority of the truth. Know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That leads us to our passage this morning. Matter of fact, two passages. One is taken from 2 Timothy, chapter 4. Chapter 3, and the other one from the book of Titus. And I want to encourage the leaders of this church this morning to stand on the authority of God's truth. I met those men in a little room back there. And I appreciate these men. But I want to give a message of encouragement no matter what comes. You know, the Bible says that because we don't like to retain the knowledge of God in our heart, God gives us over to a reprobate mind. In other words, a delusion, and we'll even believe a lie. I'm somewhat hesitant to mention names across the pulpit, but I'd like to give you an illustration this morning. I had the privilege of seeing a behind-the-scenes video clip of Joel Osteen. The one who was performing this video clip, and I believe it was unknowns to Joel, asked Joel, "Joel, is there more than one way to Christ? Is there more than one way?" At first, he skirted the issue. He went here and he went there. And finally, the man who was presenting it said, "No, Joel, is there more than one way to Christ?" Anyone venture a guess what Joel said? Joel said, "Yes." 40,000 people come into that cathedral of his to worship on a Sunday morning with a man who says there is more than one way to Christ. Now you may like me this morning, or you can't wait till I get out of here. You know, everybody's going to be blessed this morning. You're either going to be blessed that I came, or you're going to be blessed when you see my taillights go. That's okay. I'm okay with that. I was sharing with the ministry team, I've been thrown out of churches already, so it's all right. It's just okay. I stand on the profound authority of truth, and that is it. So this morning, here's the culture. You know, the Bible says that in the days of Noah, that's the way it's going to be in the second coming of Christ, where we're going to be eating, we're going to be drinking, we're going to be marrying, we're going to be given in marriage, we're going to just have a whole bunch of commotion going on. And we get busier and busier and busier, and we're so busy today that we don't even have time to read God's Word to see what it's really saying. because I've got a job. I got to be there at 1 o'clock in the morning. I got to work till 9 o'clock at night. I got to cover the miles. I got to harvest the crops. I got to feed the cattle. What does the Bible tell us? It says to be still and know that I am God. I'd like to ask you this morning, how many of us purposely and intentionally find our life throughout the week? This is not what makes you spiritual this morning, my dear people. No, no. It's where you go and who you are. There's a saying that says, my spirituality is not determined where I go when I'm compelled to go, but where I go in my free time. That determines who you are. That determines my relationship with Jesus Christ. Notice what this passage says, chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Let's pay attention as we read. I tell you this morning, life's not a joke. We're not living some fantasy trip that all ends well and everybody enters into heaven. No, that's not what the Bible says. Philippians 3:10. Oh, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. And we love that authority. And we love that power. But let's finish the verse. What? It says that we're going to identify with His sufferings. And we're going to be made conformable unto His death. How many of us here today are ready to die? How many of us here today are ready to surrender your life, your living, today? These are thought-provoking questions that I continually must ask me. And that keeps my focus where it needs to go. Where it needs to go. The old songwriter said, where will you be a million years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be singing as glad ages roll? Or you finish? You finish. Say this yet, and then I must go on. How much time do we have here? Huh? Oh, you're in for a long ride, Tom. Tell you a little story about a man in the East. He was a businessman. He bought a mill. Now, Jesus said, occupy till we come, and part of that occupying is, and the value of monetary things is to provide and then to give. Provide and then to give. Provide and then to give. And I should repeat that and repeat it and repeat it until it hits our heart. Provide and to give. Like 40 times in Scripture, He warns against those who want to be rich and accumulate. But He says, provide and then give. And this man bought a mill, and this mill was prosperous. It feels good for a business to go, right? Feels good for a business to go. He said, if one mill is good, two shall be better. So he bought the second mill that presented a problem. On Wednesday evening, he couldn't come to the prayer meeting because he had to cover both mills. How many of us here come to the prayer meeting? Huh? How many of us here love to pray? How many of us here find ourselves on our knees? You know, I heard the story of an old brother that I don't know if you ever seen the alligators in the Everglades in Florida. We went out there with them in a canoe in just a narrow body of water, and these things would slide off that shore and they'd go right under through that canoe. I thought sure one time one's tail hit the canoe. I wasn't sure, but they just make an awful mess, and they just have this ground matted. Looks like a bunch of hogs would have rooted around. Said this dear old brother had a place in the woods to where he wore a circle, I believe it was around a tree. communing with God. Communing with God. What does your communing with God really look like? Do we get up and head for the door and grab the lunch pail because we're already preconceived about the place we gotta go and what we gotta do this day, and our prayer is, Lord, be with me today, bless my day, keep me safe, and we're gone? Is that how we pray? Well, this man was willing to sacrifice prayer meeting. He said, if two are good, three shall be better. He bought the third mill. You know, because the thing today is just to keep expanding, get bigger and bigger and gather more. And oh, what fools at heart! Because the things of this life block the vision for glory. I'm not down on prosperity. The question is, what are you and I going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? He bought the third mill. This mill presented another problem. He couldn't come to the Sunday evening services. Because now, Sunday evening had to be in preparation for Monday morning to run three mills. You see where we're going with this? The focus shifted. The man became very prosperous. By the way, my question this morning to all of us, including our leaders and the church of today, is this. When I lay in the casket, which I believe time on earth here is soon going to be over, when I lay in the casket, what are people going to remember about Brother Denny? That he owned six farms, he had the nicest and the newest equipment, he had an immaculate house, and he was a prosperous man. Or are they going to remember me that I stood on the authority of truth, and many times as I shared the gospel, I aggravated you? Is that what they're going to remember about me? This man was prosperous. He went on to live life in prosperity. And one day, as it shall happen for all of us, God came calling. It's your time to die. And he lay on his deathbed. As he lay on his deathbed, there was a number of people around him. He sat up and he cupped his hand to the ear and they said, "What are you listening for?" He said, "I'm listening for the voice of God, but I can't hear it because of the miller's wheels." And he died. He died. Where will I be a million years from now? Brothers, as you stand before this congregation, time and a time again, to open up God's Word, preach it with conviction, with power, authority, not only preach it, but live it. Let your lives be living examples of what a shepherd really looks like. What it means to be a shepherd of the house of God. What it means to live it. What it means to understand and be granted forgiveness. Perilous times, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Let's do an inventory check this morning. How many of us here love ourselves? Huh? Okay? There's really nothing wrong with that. Outside of lovers of ourselves, we have an issue. You see, we live in a me and a my world. We live in a me and a my world where what really matters is all about me. All about me. You know, I get into a conflict every once in a while, and somebody once told me, he said, "You're kind of a contentious person, Brother Danny." I said, "No, I don't think I am. I just see the authority of Scripture, black and white, what it says." You see? So here's what happens. When we stand for truth, the waves come rushing at us. The torrents hit the ship. The ship may rock, but anchored in Jesus Christ, it stands firm. It stands sure. Lovers of their own selves. They're covetous. How many of us here covet things? Huh? Do we have people that would be so honest to say, "Yeah, I covet"? Sometimes I look around and I have a young neighbor who's a big farmer. the best equipment you could lay your eyes on. I think, wow. And then you know what happens immediately? I see heaven. I say, it's all gone. I don't desire that. You can't give me that. You couldn't give me 2,000 acres this morning and all the equipment to go with it, the glitter and the glory of that. You couldn't give that to me because I know where it would take my heart for the most part. I'd have to avail all my time and effort, energy, to making it work. This morning, covetous. We covet, we want, and then we boast. I love going... No, let me rephrase that. That's not the truth. I don't enjoy going to the coffee shop and sitting around sometimes with these farmers over at our area. You know why? Every farmer's crop outdoes the other farmer's. My beans went 60 bushel. Mine went 62. Mine went 65. And you know, sometimes we get so carried away, we have 100 bushel beans. Boasters, they're proud. Aren't you proud this morning to be an Eicher? Aren't you proud this morning to be a Delagrange or whatever? I don't know all the names here. Carpenter, fill in a few. No reflection. Aren't you proud? Aren't you proud of your accomplishments? It's called self-worth this morning. You know, we use these subtle terms, self-worth, self-esteem, feeling good about yourselves, all of these things. But what does the Bible say? Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Huh? You see, all of Scripture speaks contrary to what man thinks. All of Scripture speaks contrary to what man thinks. Blasphemers, they're disobedient to parents. You know, there's a prophecy in Scripture that says, leaders, the day is coming when the babes will rule. Today, I tell you, the babes rule! Indiana's license plate says, kids first. I see signs all over the yard that says, drive smart, kids dart. Wait a minute! What's wrong with that? The Bible says, teach a child in the way that he should go. And one of those teachings is, child, you stay off the road. It's not the motorist's primary focus to avoid hitting children. It's the parent's primary focus to teach them to stay off the road. Make sense? Today, the babes rule. If you don't believe that, go to a parking lot, Walmart, or wherever, and set yourself in a position where you can watch people coming and going, and you will shake your head. And then if little Johnny doesn't get what he wants, he's going to throw a temper tantrum in the middle of the aisle in the store, and because the cameras are watching you, you're not going to discipline him. Listen, my dear people, I'm not a man of doom. I'm a man of reality, but the dark days are just around the corner, where you and I will be tried like never before for our faith in Jesus Christ. And unless I am to the point where I've given up even my physical body at the foot of the cross and I've laid it down, and it's been a huge challenge for me these last few weeks, lay it down at the foot of the cross, I am not ready for that time. I'm not ready. I'm not ready. I believe life for me ends, my identity, at the foot of that cross. Let this mind be in you, and then I am hidden in Jesus Christ. So no longer should the reflection be of Denny, but it should be of Jesus Christ and His glory. See, leaders, we need to bring people to see their need of who God is and who I am. Well, we must finish. traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. How many of us here this morning plan our vacations, most of our vacations, on we'll leave on a Friday night after work, we'll stay Saturday, and we'll stay Sunday, and then we come home Sunday night to meet Monday morning's workforce. Notice what this says. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I asked a question this morning. Why the Lord's Day? Why the Lord's Day? What's the matter with the sacrifice of the week? You know, Brother Tom was bringing out the law. And he made a powerful point. The law is not abolished. The law has been enhanced. The law has been elevated. In the law it said if you commit adultery with a woman, you know what happened. You needed to die. In the New Testament, Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law and the prophets. I came to do what? He said, now if you look on a woman to lust after her, you've already committed adultery in your heart. Has the law been abolished? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's been enhanced. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. How many of us, and you don't need to answer this morning, how many of us here in this auditorium would say, I feel the power of God. I know the power of God rests in my life. The power of God rests in my life. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. If you flip the page in closing, and I need to shut this down. Chapter 2 of Titus. Brothers, here is my encouragement for your teaching. Church, I plead with you, be attentive to the words of these passages. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is the authority of the gospel. That's what sound doctrine is all about. It's a doctrine that's been tried. It's true. It works. It's profitable. That's what it is. That the aged men be sober. Sobriety is a spirit. It's not a countenance of a long, sad face. It's a countenance of joy, but it's a spirit that soberly and purposefully you and I are thinking about our next step. About our next step. And as I take that step, where will it lead me? You know, we're on this path and it's narrow, my dear people. And on either side of that path is a ditch. And if the step I take leads to one ditch or the other, I'm leaving the path. Temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. And I understand this was written in the culture of Paul's time, but the Bible says all scripture is what? It's profitable, isn't it? It's profitable. It's for our day. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Reread that in your private time and notice the last part of that sentence. That the word of God be not blasphemed. Women, if you're living in disobedience to this morning, you're blaspheming the Word of God. You're blaspheming the Word. Now, we can make all kinds of excuses. We can make all kinds of reasons why we do what we do. But the Bible is simple. It says that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. sober-minded young men. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again. Servants, this morning, those of you who are in employment, how do you respond to those who are in authority over you? I know the boss wants it done this way, but I don't see it that way. I'm doing it how I know best. What does the Bible say? You know, these are simple truths that we have left. They're next to extinct. Brother Tom, in the Sunday school classes you were teaching, you made a comment about authority, and I find this interesting as I travel. Christian and non-Christian mixed together in the highway as we travel. All of a sudden, there is a police sitting by the roadside. I don't worry about them policemen. There's a police sitting by the roadside. You know what I see? A blare of red taillights in front of me. Why? Why? Obedient in all things. Huh? I just preached a message back home on honoring the King. Honoring the laws of our land. I ask you a question this morning. Was the speed limit posted to be broken or to be kept? Does that mean then you set the cruise at 10 or 12 over intentionally because you know that you probably are going to receive that grace? If you do, I'm going to make a statement this morning, and you can love me or you can hate me. I believe you are in violation in your heart already. That is no different than looking upon a woman and lusting after her. No different. If I intentionally set the cruise to violate the speed limit, I have wrong motives. And Scripture is taught completely and fully in its Spirit to reach you and my heart this morning. You change the heart of a man, and you've changed the man. By the renewing of our minds, we are transformed. By the renewing of our minds. So when we come to the foot of the cross, we no longer think the same. We no longer live the same. But we are changed. Testimony this morning. Did I speak truth or did I not? God bless you. May you live life in the Spirit of God's Word.
I want to give special recognition to our ministers and also our deacon's assistants this morning. We try each year to let them know how much we appreciate it. Come on up, Steve. And Steve's going to help with this. Michael. But you have a handheld.